The reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," said his disciples, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he had put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen.
We continue this morning our journey through Mark's Gospel. And there are here, as we have just heard, two interlocking events, Jairus' daughter and also the woman who touched Jesus' cloak. Jairus was an official of the local synagogue, the meeting place for worship for the Jewish people. He approaches Jesus in desperation with an earnest appeal to heal his young 12-year-old daughter who was very ill. You can imagine the pain and hurt in his heart and the worry and anxiety in his mind. Jairus throws himself down at the feet of Jesus and begs him fervently, "My dear daughter is at death's door. Please come and lay hands on her so she will get well and live." Now let us think for a moment about this man, Jairus, and his status. He's a leading ruler of the Jewish synagogue, one of the board of elders who were responsible for the good management of the synagogue. A ruler of the synagogue was one of the most important and most respected men in the community. And this Jairus, as a leading official in the local synagogue, with its closed, ordered world of tradition, had to cast aside his rank, his status, his prejudice, his dignity, and fall on his knees before this unauthorized, traveling preacher and teacher, Jesus of Nazareth. Jairus was desperate. Here was a new teacher, a new rabbi reputed to be a healer. Perhaps, maybe, just maybe, he could help, he might help. Jairus' mind was open as it were to experiment, to take the risk of faith. His mind was open to the new, to the possibility that a divine power was indeed at work in an unexpected and even unlikely person, this Jesus of Nazareth. And so he took the venture of faith. Today it's important for us in our own personal individual lives to keep open to whatever God is wanting to do in us and through us, to have the courage to take the risk of faith. And also in our church family, as Craigall Church family, in our church life, to keep our mind and spirit and outlook open, to seek to discern what the living God is doing so we can cooperate with him, to see where God is at work and then join him there, to have the courage and faith to follow where he is leading, to be willing to go forward, past put behind us, and experience whatever is around the next bend in the road. Someone once said that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So Jesus went with Jairus, of course he did, and the whole crowd tagging along, pushing, jostling him. However, there's now an unexpected development, an interruption. On the way to Jairus' house, a woman who had suffered from severe bleeding for 12 years came in the crowd behind Jesus, saying to herself, "If I just touch his robe, touch his clothes, I will be healed." Again, like Jairus, she was desperate. She had been treated by many doctors over many years, and she spent all the money she had, but without success. Indeed, she was getting worse. Not just desperate because of her chronic physical illness, but also in Jewish ritual law, she would not have been permitted to take part in the synagogue services, in the synagogue worship, being regarded as ritually unclean. So she was also a social and religious outcast, isolated, excluded. This would account for her quiet, discreet approach, anonymously, coming up behind Jesus in the jostling crowd. In desperation, at breaking point, this woman's faith in the power of Jesus overcame her hesitation at approaching him. She just reaches out and touches his cloak. And she just has a feeling inside herself that she is healed of her trouble. And Jesus, sensing that energy had gone out from him, turns around to the crowd and asks, "Who touched my robe? Who touched my robe?" And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him, and gave him truthfully the whole story. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter," can we hear the kindness in his voice? This poor, ill, isolated woman, rejected by society, we don't even know her name, yet to Jesus she is a precious daughter of God. "Daughter," he says, "your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." She had received power already, and she now receives peace, the peace of God. When our two boys were young, Ross and I, we used to tow a caravan when we went on our summer holiday as a family together. It was an old, very small caravan. We bought it second hand and kept it many years. I still remember the shock I had once at phoning up someone to see about a spare part and being told on the phone, "Gosh, is one of these still on the road?" Well, anyway, when you think about it, the caravan, any caravan on its own, has no power, no resources. It cannot go anywhere. It has to be hitched on to the tow ball at the back of the car, has to be clamped into position. And then, and only then, power of the car engine can pull the full load and journey towards the destination. Faith is a bit like the action of clamping the caravan onto the tow bar of the car. For when we are connected up to Jesus, as it were, connected to his presence and his power by faith, by looking to him, by trusting in him, then it will powerfully affect our lives and take us to a new place. Jesus says to this woman, in all her trouble and need, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." The Message version says, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole." Jesus, as we have been seeing through these weeks and these early chapters in Mark, often stressed the need to have faith in him. True faith is taking the risk of reaching out, of putting our trust in this Jesus who is risen and alive and with us day by day. Going through each day, continually looking to Jesus and to his presence and his power, rather than looking to our outward circumstances. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, "Help of the helpless, O abide with me." There's more to say on this scripture passage, but we'll pause there. And continuing our theme of healing and wholeness, we sing a hymn about healing and wholeness. It's a number 718, "We Cannot Measure How You Heal." So we now return to Jesus and the large crowd heading towards the house of Jairus. Let us just pause and think for a minute how ready Jesus was to turn aside to help this unnamed woman in her desperate need. Here's Jesus on his way to visit and heal a very sick child, the daughter of an eminent and important official, but he still takes time to stop and spend time with this woman in her suffering. The individual in his or her need is always infinitely and eternally precious to God. So whenever during the day we turn to Jesus, and we can do so many, many, many times, in prayer, in ongoing conversation, looking to him, gazing at him, just thanking him, saying sorry to him, asking his help, just praising him in our heart, worshiping him heart to heart. Whenever we do this, we are never interrupting him. He's always there to listen, to care, to befriend, to understand. Never too preoccupied, never too busy. In the words of St. Augustine, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us to love. But now bad news comes. Messenger arrive from Jairus' house and tell him, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they say, Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And in the Greek, the verbs are in the present tense. Don't go on fearing the worst, but do go on believing the best. Jairus had begun well. He must not lose faith now. On arriving at the house, Jesus got rid of all the professional mourners with their ritual wailing and shrieking. He took the child's father and mother and his disciples Peter, James, and John and went into the room where the child was lying. He took her by the hand and said to her in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up. Lassie, get up." And we are told she got up at once and started walking around. And everyone's completely amazed, beside themselves with joy. And Jesus, in practical, down-to-earth common sense, Jesus says to them, "Give her something to eat." This raising from the dead is the high point in this series of miracles in Mark's Gospel, variously showing the power of Jesus over nature, over evil spirits, over disease, and over death itself. One New Testament commentator writes, "If, as we believe, God, the creator of the universe and the Lord of all history, is in Christ, then we ought not to be surprised. Other things happen which transcend what we like to call normal and defeat our efforts to explain them." Today we know, sadly, that not every ill child or young person is healed. It's part of the agonizing mystery of things. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the kingdom of God has indeed come among us. It has been inaugurated. It has been launched through his ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing, and most of all through his cross and resurrection. But the full, unclouded fulfillment of the kingdom of God in glory still lies ahead in the future, when, in the words of the book of Revelation, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Or as St. Paul puts it, "Now we see only puzzling reflections in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face." But still today we know in faith that in every situation, the Lord Jesus, risen and alive, can bring hope out of despair and he can bring light out of darkness. And there's nothing beyond facing, and there's nothing beyond conquering, not even death itself, when it is faced and conquered in the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to him alone be all the praise and the glory. Let us pray.